With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. Annie Fry returns tomorrow. Oh, you're going to love this. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. The guy is hysterical at this point. He doesn't know what to do with himself. So listen to his comments that he made today. He's upset about what the judge has done. Can't figure it out.
Republican judge, a politician who has to run for re-election.
Talking point.
Trump-loving county.
Talking point.
Ruling about masks in a friendly fire lawsuit.
Talking point.
Radical anti-maskers in
talking point
general. Even though St. Louis County was never a party in the case or even asked to provide its position, the judge purported to declare all of our public health orders invalid. And how a judge can do that will be for the lawyers in the bar to figure out. But we know it's a dangerous ruling.
Mm-hmm.
We know it undermines our strong COVID policies, and we're starting to understand how it may impact our other public health policies.
Oh, here we go. Here comes.
That judge's view of the world. Our Department of Public Health should not be allowed to investigate dog bites.
That's not true.
Close a restaurant to prevent hepatitis A outbreak.
Not true.
Control the spread of tuberculosis or take actions to limit the spread of sexually transmitted infections.
Oh, brother.
And this kind of government-free world may be the kind of world COVID deniers want to oppose upon us.
Okay.
But it's not the kind of world that St. Louis County wants to live in.
Oh, stop. Just stop the hysteria. Just stop it. Yeah, that's right. That's what the judge said. The Department of Public Health is not allowed to investigate dog bites or anything else. Hepatitis, anything could happen. Public health shouldn't get involved. That's not what he said. Okay. I'm not going over that again. But he's hysterical. I mean, the man does not know what he's going to do. Speaking of hysteria, I'm just going to check the Drudge Report just for fun anymore. I know many of you don't check it because, you know, he was so anti. I don't know that, frankly, I don't think Drudge owns the site anymore. I don't think he has for a long time. All right. So I don't know what happened, but it became very anti-Trump and a lot of people tuned away. Not that you can't criticize Trump or anybody else, but it just became nothing but anti-Trump. Right. And now it's just basically become anti-America. Frankly, if you looked at the Drudge Report and nothing else, you would think, I mean, if you're somebody from another country or something, you thought that was the main site to check. You would think we all were at each other's throats constantly. That it was a miserable world to live in. And I know when I go out and walk my dog and go to the park and meet up with my friends and go do the things that I do in my life, it's not a miserable world out there. We're not all out to get us, to get each other. We're not all out to, you know, kill each other. It's not the way it goes. World shuts again. Afrophobia. Oh, brother. This is from Drudge. Omicron, very high risk, unusual symptoms. Now, not a doctor. Talked about this extensively on my show last night on Sunday nights. I will post that conversation up on my website, HeidiHarris.com. You can check it out later today on the podcast there, and I'll put it on the podcast. Had a conversation with a doctor about Omicron. I'm not going to give I don't give medical advice. I'm not qualified. But we talked a lot about Omicron. But the thing that's funny is from what we're seeing, not my opinion, from what I'm seeing in the news reports and what the doctors are saying about it, are saying, yeah, you know, but they haven't been serious symptoms and they went home and they kind of slept it off kind of thing. So there's no evidence from what I've seen, even in mainstream media, that this is killing anybody. It's just another variant. And as the doctor I spoke with last night, Dr. Kelly Victor, has been telling me for 2 years, and we've talked about this, other doctors know this is true, that when you have a virus, it mutates. And it becomes, according to doctors, not me, it becomes often more contagious, but less lethal. We don't even know if this is more contagious at this point. We don't know. Everybody's freaking out about something. You know, and here's the best one. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla said today, this is amazing to me. Now, the Omicron virus, the variant came out, what, Thursday? Friday? Something like that, right? Sometime over the week, right?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So today's, let me get this straight, Brad. So today's Monday, and we heard about Omicron, you know, maybe before the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, it was after Thanksgiving, but before the weekend.
Okay, so Friday. All right, we'll go with Friday. And he says, today's Monday. That's 4 days, right? Okay, just make sure we're good on this. So he says that he has a very high level of confidence that his company's COVID-19 treatment pills are effective against the Omicron variant. Huh? It's only been 4 days. I'm sorry. You can laugh or cry. I choose to laugh about this, right? You can scream. 4 days, and he already knows for sure. For sure. We know all we need to know about it. Our pill's going to work. I mean,
okay. I don't know how they know that quickly.
You know why? I'm going to tell you how, okay? You know how they know? Because they don't have any liability for killing people with this. That's what it is. They're absolved from legal responsibility. You can't sue them. That's why. They don't care.
Is that for any COVID treatment?
Yep. All those things. All the vaccines. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. That's right. And I saw Robert Kennedy Jr. the other day on Tucker Carlson's show. I like Tucker a lot. And he was talking about the fact that I did not know this history. And obviously, there's a lot about Bobby Kennedy Jr. that I'm not going to agree with, you know, politically and whatnot. Okay. But he's very concerned about this. And he was talking about the fact that this happened during the Reagan administration, that the manufacturers of vaccines basically said, well, we can't be liable for all the things that potentially happen. It's not possible to make a vaccine without some problems and this and that and the other. So apparently that going back to the Reagan administration, that's when they absolved these people of responsibility, legal liability.
I know we had Brad Young in here hosting for Annie one day, and he said that no vaccine company can be sued, not just the COVID vaccine, but no vaccine company can be sued. However, they put together some sort of fund that you can submit. So if you have adverse effects from a vaccine, you can submit a request to this fund or a complaint to this fund, and that's where the money actually comes from. And he said the reasoning behind that was to keep they see vaccines as a positive for society.
Right.
And therefore, they don't want, you know, adverse effects, people to sue vaccine makers to keep them from making vaccines in general.
Right. And that makes sense. And listen, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be responsible for these kinds of things, because there's got to be liability, product liability almost anywhere. Right.
Right.
But like, I have a friend that I don't know. I'm not an expert on how this works legally. I have a friend who had the shingles vaccine, and she's now part of a, what do you call it? Class action lawsuit. She's now part of a class action lawsuit because she took the shingles vaccine and couldn't get out of bed for almost 6 months.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
You know, like she had an autoimmune response to it from her elbows down and from her knees down. I'm not telling anybody not to get a shingles vaccine. Okay. And this is one person that I know well. And the point is, she was debilitated. And that is a possible vaccine reaction, they say in the literature. But, you know, a vaccine reaction is only rare if it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Right. Exactly. So my point is that maybe there is some kind of recourse legally in some of these things. But, and I told her when the vaccine came out, I said, listen, I'm not, you know, when I started to look, research it and various things, I said, listen, I'm not telling you not to get a vaccine, because she was only going to get it to travel. And I said, I'm not ever going to tell you what to do. I'm just asking you to look into it, because the autoimmune reactions we're hearing from some people. Because see, here's the thing too. Everybody has different body chemistry. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad, for example, could not take penicillin. I can take penicillin. My dad could not. Some people can't take aspirin. right? Some people can't do this, they can't do that. So some people might have a terrible autoimmune reaction to a vaccine or to shingles or any, or to COVID or whatever. And some people will be fine. Mm-hmm. But I said to my friend, since you've already had a bad immune response to a vaccine, I would look into it or ask a lot more questions before you just jump into it. Just be sure. I'm not telling you what to do, I told her, but just look into it because, you know, everybody's different. That's all.
Yeah. And that, and that's where I go back to that whole thing about, like, go have that conversation with your doctor because your doctor knows your medical history.
Exactly.
And they'll be able to look at it and say, yeah, this is good for you, or no, this isn't good for you. And I truly believe that most doctors out there are going to give you an honest answer. My doctor is very good about, you know, evaluating the risk versus reward of whatever treatment that we talk about for myself. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't know if you believe this about me or not, but whenever I go see my doctor, it is just question after question after question after question that I ask him.
Right.
Partly because I want to know because I'm curious. But the other part is like, this is my health, and this is, you know, like, I'm my personal medical advocate. Nobody can advocate for me like I can. So I got to go to people who I trust and get the best possible answers before I make a decision.
And that's what you want. You want somebody you can trust. That's the important thing. So going back to the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, today on the Squawk Box, CNBC, he said that Pfizer could commit to delivering 80 million courses of Paxlovid. That's the new one, COVID-19 treatment for which the company requested emergency use authorization. Once again, a lot of people thought for a long time that the vaccine was FDA approved. They had emergency use authorization like this one's going to. But he said, right now we can clearly commit 80 million doses. Our manufacturing machine is really at work and they could just make it. I'm very, very pleased we're in this situation. Yeah, I know, because you need another yacht. Then he said, there are many unknowns about the Omicron variant. You know, it's only been out since, what did we say, Thursday, Friday? So 4 days?
Friday's okay. when they announced it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so it'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. You know, really? 4 days. And he says, there are many unknowns about the Omicron variant and more data should become available in the coming weeks. Oh, perfect. We'll all be experts in a couple weeks. Great. But he said that Paxlovid was designed in anticipation of possible future mutations. Oh, sure, we got you covered. Okay. I don't know what to say other than, okay. What can you say? Everybody run into your house for another 6 months. There's another variant. But the variant.
I mean, the word of the day is endemic, right?
Yeah,
this is endemic. It's not going anywhere. They've said as much. It's not going anywhere. Fauci said himself over the weekend, we're going to have to learn how to live with it. So learn how to live with it. You're not
right.
We don't live in a perfectly safe society, and it's way better than it used to be because of medical advancements and whatnot. But
absolutely,
it's not going to be that. And so take the precautions that you feel you need to take. Take those precautions and then live your life, because what we're doing is not sustainable.
No, but coronaviruses have always been around. That's the whole point. And I remember a couple of years back, my mom was hospitalized. She had a bunch of things hit her at once. And one of the things she got was H1N1. I said, what? That's still around? These things are still around. They're going to be around. They're going to be with us. Mm-hmm. So anyway. All right, coming up, Salvation Army has gone all woke. Oh, brother, really? The kettle person? Out there freezing their butts off in front of the mall. Does anybody go to the mall anymore or whatever? Wait till you hear what they're doing. We'll get to that and more on the Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Annie Fry. Annie Fry returns tomorrow. Having a great time. Got Brad holding down the fort. And always a lot of fun having Brad. It's a great crew here at 97.1 FM Talk. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And my show airs every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. If you want to know more about me and other stuff that I do, you can check out HeidiHarris.com. HeidiHarris.com, HeidiHarris.com. Okay, I podcast and all the video stuff and all that stuff's all in one place, so check it out. All right. We'll talk Salvation Army, then we'll get to Kamala Harris and how the Dems plan to scuttle her. Listen to this. Salvation Army has now put out a guide. Let's talk about racism, which says that the group hopes Christians will lament, repent, and apologize for biases or racist ideologies held and actions committed. Okay. Let me finish this, and I'm going to have you come in on this, Brad, because I know you're a youth pastor. You and I are both Christians, so it's just a little offensive, to say the least. This is an urgent need for Christians to evaluate racist attitudes and practices in light of our faith and to live faithfully in today's world. And Greg Kokel, what book did he write? I have it in my living room. I don't have it in front of me. About responding to people who are skeptics. I think it's called, anyway, it's an apologetics book. He wrote a letter to the Salvation Army. He said, I'm sending this note to inform you I'm terminating my monthly donations to the Salvation Army and directing them to another organization. Because basically, this guy's the founder of Stand to Reason, but I can't think of the name of his book, but it's excellent. I've got it in my literally on my shelf. But Greg Kokel had a great response. He said, to be clear, I'm not claiming there's no racism to be dealt with or there are no racist Christians who need to repent. What I'm saying is critical race theory is not an accurate characterization of contemporary racial dynamics in America. He's absolutely right about that. And all I can say is, first of all, I don't know why the Salvation Army is getting involved in this to start with. I don't even understand that. The second thing is, there's no racism in the Bible. You know, we're all the same. Christ very clearly spells that out. So if you're going to, you know, I don't know what... wag your finger at Christians for being racist. Are there Christians who are racist? I'm sure there are, but they have no biblical basis for their thinking. You know, so I don't even know what, I'm surprised the Salvation Army is even going there, pushing the critical race theory. I mean, I don't even understand it.
Yeah, that kind of grieves me. Critical race theory is like, it's one of those things that kind of goes around that a lot of people don't really know what it is, but the thing
critical
about
of one race is yeah, a critical of well, one race. That's I define it.
It's some way of it's like a lens through which you view the world and society, right? It's
right.
How you approach.
Right.
So it basically states that the United States is an inherently racist country, and that people need to be treated differently based on their race because of how the country's history was, which is just total garbage. And the fact that the Salvation Army, which is a Christian organization, is viewing life through a lens that's other than the scriptures, than other than the Bible, is just
right.
Heartbreaking to me. Right?
That's the point. That's it in a nutshell. This is not a biblical perspective that they're taking, and they're supposed to be a Christian organization. There we go. There's no racism in the Bible. Once again, there are people who are Christians who are racist. People who are atheists who are racist. We're not denying that. but it's not a biblical position. So if that's what you think, then you are not a Christian. I mean, or you're not following what the Bible says about Christianity. There's nothing about race in the Bible.
I mean, when it talks about race, it does it in such a manner that it's like, no, listen, you're an image bearer of God. This right. is what we have in common. It talks more about bringing people together, not separating and dividing based on race. As a matter of fact, like you get all the way into Revelation, it talks about like people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be part of the kingdom of God. It is the most anti-racist thing out there. But, you know, you feel I don't understand like why these organizations, and you see it in several different Christian organizations, why they feel this need to pursue this CRT or anti-racist, you know, actively anti-racist stuff. It's you don't need to add something to the Bible. The Bible is complete and whole and full. It bothers me.
Yeah. It's Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor are there male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus.
There you go.
And so there's no reason for this to be happening, especially in a group that calls itself. I don't even understand. I mean, it really bothers me because Christians are supposed to be. And listen, we're Christians. We're not perfect people. We understand that. All right. We are forgiven and we screw up all the time. All right. But it used to be that pastors were kind of the lifeblood of a nation in a lot of ways. This is not a theocracy. I'm not saying it is. But you used to see a lot of the churches would stand up for truth. And now you see churches instead of, you know, and Jesus talked about that. I've been in a Bible study the last couple of weeks. I've been studying the book of Matthew. It's a national Bible study fellowship, and we're doing the book of Matthew. And, you know, you're supposed to be cultural all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just by nature of the fact that you are a Christian, you are going to be hated. You're going to have all these problems, things that happen to you as a result of it. But you are not supposed to go along to get along. Jesus didn't come so people could go along to get along. And that's the whole point. You are supposed to live apart. You are what the Bible calls in some places peculiar people. Yeah. We're a different group of folks.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, we're supposed to be standing. And I know pastors. I'm going to tell you something. I had a situation a couple years back where I got in trouble for saying that kids need moms and dads. It wasn't a thing about hating gay people. I don't hate gay people. And I won't bore you with the whole story, but basically people were upset because I said kids do best with moms and dads. That's not to say that gay people can't raise kids. Of course they can. I wouldn't give Rosie O'Donnell a goldfish, but that's because she's Rosie, not because she's gay. you know, and who puts the kids in foster care? Straight people for the most part, right? So I'm not saying you can't be a good parent with, you know, but ideally kids need moms and dads. That's mm-hmm. the best way to raise kids, all right?
Yeah.
And I had a pastor in a big church, come up to my husband and say to him at an event, I agree with your wife. But because it was a big controversy in my town, huge controversy. And he said, I agree with what your wife said, but if I say that, I'll lose my pension. It's a pastor.
He should probably lose his pension anyway.
Right. That's my point. Okay. I mean, did you see the apostles doing that, saying, oh, well, yeah, but if I do this, like if I drop my fishing net and follow you, well, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to have a pension? Jesus, who's this guy? Why should I follow him? Right. Wow.
Yeah, that's the whole thing though. Like as a pastor, you're beholden to the truth of the word of God, not to the popular opinion of the people out there.
That's right.
And
exactly.
I want to clarify. I want to make sure that I'm saying this. I am not saying that you should be racist. There is no room for that. What I'm saying is that CRT in and of itself is an inherently racist ideology, because what it does is it tells people that you should make decisions on them based on their race.
Right. And it pits one race against another. Right. And that's not what Jesus did. It does not. When Jesus talked about people going against each other, he was talking about people who followed him were going to face opposition. But it wasn't about a color of anybody. Exactly.
Right. So, you know, if you are racist, you need to repent. I'm going to say that right now. If you have racism in you, you need to repent because that is a sin. But that's not something that we're, you know what I'm saying? It's not just the worldwide problem that everybody's trying to make it out to be.
Yeah. Well, does it exist? Sure it does. I mean, there are people whose brains are that small. And I know that. We all know that. And those people, it's hard because you learn that in the home. You know, my dad was raised in the South. And never, ever did he say, use the N-word or anything like that. You know, my dad's attitude was, my dad was a musician. My dad played, by the way, with Benny Goodman, who, as I know, I'm not an expert on big bands, but as I understand it, it was the first integrated band. I mean, there were black bands, there were white bands. That was it, right? Benny Goodman had both in his band. I think he was the first guy to do it. My dad's attitude was, you play, you know, can you play? Right? That was it. He didn't care what color you were. And the first time we heard somebody in the neighborhood use the N-word, and we came home, my parents laid it out. And they said, that is a word that we never use. We didn't know what, we had never heard it before, never in our house. And so you learn this at home, obviously, as a kid, by parents who are ignorant. But there's no excuse. You've heard about these you know, famous people who are 19, 20 years old, and they'll use the N-word. And then they say, oh, I was a kid then. No, you weren't. You were a legal adult. And I don't care how you were raised, you don't use that word. I mean, it's, or anything like that. Yes, I know different races sometimes use that word in songs, and I get all of that. But the whole point of CRT is to pit one race against each other constantly, constantly, making everything about race. And that doesn't help anybody. I'm supposed to feel guilty for what? I've never, ever disliked a person in my life for the color of their skin. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk. The color of your skin is not what you got to work harder than that. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, for me. And so I'm not going to feel guilty about something I've never done. And that's what CRT does, is try to make people feel guilty for, you know, doing something terrible to somebody. You know, white privilege, I'm still looking for mine. If you see it, please let me know. I've worked my butt off since I was a kid. I worked 40 hours a week starting in high school. I've always worked. I've never gotten privileges. Oh, you just don't know about your white privilege. Oh, brother. I mean, it just gets so old, and it's so insulting, frankly, to a lot of people.
Well, that's the one part, is you're tearing one side down, but you're actually tearing the side down that you're saying that you're helping, right?
Right, exactly.
Because what you're saying is I'm sorry that you're not doing well, and you can't do well without my help. Well, that's incredibly biased, and that's incredibly racist to say that.
It's insulting. Very insulting.
You can absolutely do well in this country, and I believe in you. That's how you support somebody.
Exactly.
You don't make excuses.
Yeah, you can't do it because you're this color. Right. That's not America. In America, I mean, are there things that you can't do? I mean, people say, well, you could do anything you want in America within limits. I mean, I can't be a fighter pilot because I don't have the attention span or the math skills. Okay. Even when I was 20, I've got friends who are fighter pilots, female fighter pilots too. Okay. But the reason I'm not a fighter pilot is not because I'm a girl. It's because I don't have the skills that they have. Okay. So what's holding me back is that everybody's different. Some people can be a supermodel. Some people can't. Some people are amazing artists. Some people aren't. Everybody's got talents and abilities that they have inherently, that if they're smart, they discover early enough in life to hopefully make a living doing, if they want to, or at least as a hobby. But if we were all the same, everybody wanted to be a CEO, or everybody wanted to do this or that, what would society be like? It wouldn't function if everybody was content to do one particular thing and nothing else. So we all have to look at our strengths and weaknesses. We've got to be objective about them. I know a lot of people who are not objective about their abilities. They're really not. They want to do this, but they really can't. They want you go to a karaoke bar. You'll see it any night of the week. Okay. Okay. And I say this as somebody who used to sing for a living. I'm not saying I'm, you know, Mariah Carey, but I go out to, I don't judge them. They're drinking. Who cares? Nobody cares. We're at a karaoke bar. Okay. Nobody cares if you can sing or not. But some of these people get up there and they think they can. That's what's scary. They're totally off key, and their friends are like, yes. And so, but they don't understand it, or they want to be, you know, some, whatever it might be. They want to be something they don't have the aptitude for. So I think part of becoming an adult is understanding that you have skills that you know, God made you a certain way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're limited to one, you know, occupation or whatever, but God gave you certain inherent abilities. I mean, my mom tells stories of me being 3 years old in the backyard with the bigger kids, waving my finger at them and going, you're not doing it right. And they're 5, 6, 7 years old. I mean, I was little. And so I was born going, hey, like Sam Page, hey, Dr. Page, you're not doing it right. So here I am all these years later doing the same thing. So everybody has their abilities or their inclinations or their talents, and there are people who are really talented. We've seen that in professional sports sometimes, and I've seen it in radio and other things. Really, really talented who blow it by making bad decisions, mm-hmm. by getting addicted, by being lazy. I've known people who've said, I'd like to have my own radio show, but I don't want to do the work. Oh, you know, the preparation. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, right, that kind of thing. So you have to have the aptitude and you have to have the drive to succeed in whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. But to blame it on race is if, okay, you're black, you're never going to succeed because the white man's going to hold you down. I mean, that is such a defeatist way of thinking, but that's what we see in CRT.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time and again, it's terrible. All right, coming up, I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Frye. We're going to talk about Kamala Harris and how the Democrats are going to scuttle her. They have an interesting plan to do it. We'll see how that works, or maybe hopefully it won't work, but you never know. Coming right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Ooh, I like this music. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Frye, grooving to the tunes. Oh, thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Brad's holding down the fort in the studio. Happy to be filling in for Annie Frye. She'll be back tomorrow. I do a show here on 97.1 FM Talk every Sunday night from 7 to 9. During the week, I do some video stuff. You can find it all at HeidiHarris.com, so check it out. Also, my conversation I did last night with a doctor on the Omicron virus, or the Omicron, what is it, variant. I'll post that on HeidiHarris.com on the podcast today, so check it out later today. All right, couple of things. Kamala Harris, yeah. Nobody likes her. I'm not just saying that because I don't like her. Nobody likes her. The right doesn't like her. The left doesn't like her. She's an unlikable witch. I would feel so much better if Tulsi Gabbard were the vice president right now. I mean, I really would. But we're stuck with Kamala, at least for the moment. But they've got a plan, those Democrats, to get rid of her. I'm sure there are so many situations where in a business or whatever, where you get somebody in and you go, oh my gosh, how do I get rid of them now? Right. And that's how the Democrats feel about Kamala Harris. So apparently Democrats, according to the Telegraph is reporting this, Democrats are desperately trying to find a potential successor to Joe Biden in 2024. I don't think he's going to make it that long, but who knows? And they don't want Kamala Harris there because they know she's not going to, I don't care who she runs against, she's not winning. She's a horrible witch. Nobody likes her. But here's their plan. They're going to try to get her nominated to the Supreme Court.
No.
Good idea. Good idea. You know what I want to see, Brad? I'd pay money to watch Ted Cruz tear her apart in the Senate Judiciary.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, even though that would be fun to watch, I don't even like the idea of risking that.
Exactly. That's the scary thing. That's the scary thing. It depends on who controls the Senate. It depends on a lot of things. Can you imagine her on the Supreme Court? That is just frightening. Not only is she a witch, she's not that bright. She's not that bright. I mean, there are people who are that I don't necessarily agree with about things who are incredibly smart people. I just think they're wrong. But she's not one of those people. She's just evil. So just to share that with you. I know it's pretty depressing, isn't it? Yeah. All right. What else can you say other than it hasn't happened yet? But it goes to show you how desperate the Democrats are to get rid of her because they know she, I mean, Joe, is he going to make it to 2024? Can you even imagine how much embalming fluid can they put in this guy and prop him up? For how long can they do this?
Like, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to this or not, but J.J. Carafano, Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation turned me on, pointed me in this direction on one of the shows. But the fact that Joe Biden is having to answer questions about whether or not he's going to run again in 2024, he says that makes him sound weak. That is a sign of weakness because there was no question that Barack Obama was going to run again in 2000, right. For 2012. There was no question that Donald Trump was going to run again in 2020. There was just no question that these guys were going to do that. And so if they're asking that question, it shows you that even on their own side, they don't have confidence that he has the, endurance to do it. Is that a way of saying it?
He doesn't know what he ate for breakfast. Listen, I'm not picking on Joe Biden, but here's the thing. I don't know who's running the country. That's my problem. Who's running the country? It's not Joe Biden. He can't run a Zoom meeting. This guy doesn't know where he is. So somebody's running the country behind the scenes. A lot of people say it's Barack Obama and his whole crew. I don't really know who it is, but it's not Joe Biden. If his family had any respect for him, they would take him off the public stage. Okay, honey, I know you wanted to be president. Now you became president. Now we need to go. Because when you think about very famous people like Charlton Heston, Ronald Reagan, some of these other folks who had Alzheimer's, once they were diagnosed, they were gone from the public scene. Mm-hmm. Not that you need to be put in a warehouse. I'm not saying that. But what you do at this point is you're not doing nothing but hurting their legacy.
Right. You don't want the lasting memory of your loved one to be
correct.
Of them breaking down under such like
exactly
with,
right
with Heston and Reagan under Alzheimer's. That's tragic and heartbreaking. And you don't
exactly
want people
right.
to remember them like that.
That's right. And Nancy Reagan cared enough about her husband to protect him. And so did Charlton Heston's wife and family. I interviewed his son once. What a nice guy. Fraser Heston is his name. One of the nicest people I've ever interviewed in my life. By the way, that's up at HeidiHarris.com. You can find it on interviews. I don't post all my interviews, but that he was really, really. And here's the crazy thing about that. Just an aside here. There was a book that had come out about Charlton Heston, I don't know, a month or so before. And I said, oh, I want to read this. So I bought it, 400 pages or whatever, read it on a plane. I come back to town. I get an email from some publisher going, would you like to interview Fraser Heston? Yes, I just read the book. I would love to talk to him. I literally just read it the week before. And but just nothing but a nice, nice, nice guy. But if you care about the legacy for your family, then you clearly want to protect your family member and not trot them out in public and have them embarrass themselves. You don't want to do that. And Joe continues to embarrass himself every single, it used to be funny. 10 years ago, his gaffes were, oh, that's crazy, Joe. And he was likable. Everybody knows somebody like that who says inappropriate things at the dinner party or whatever. But it was likable. Now it's not even funny anymore. Now it's frightening.
Well, I have a challenge for people. If you think that Joe Biden hasn't lost a step, like you said, 10 years ago, he had gaffes. But go back and watch a video of him, even from whenever he was in the White House as vice president. Watch some of the videos of his interviews and stuff like that and compare that to who we see in the White House now.
That's right. Exactly.
And it's shocking. And, again, like you said, a loving family member is not going to leave him in that position. But
well, that's exactly right. And that's what people are going to look at. This bumbling guy who staggers out there. He can barely walk. He walks like a robot. And he still goes out and stands and they don't read the teleprompter literally, verbatim, which is hilarious. Crazy land. So, yeah, it's nuts. Here's some good news, though. I love this. In case you missed this, KSDK is reporting a federal judge's ruling has now halted the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in 10 states, including Missouri. Woohoo! Great news. And once again, if you want to get a vaccine, I'm not telling you not to. But I know some people who are really in a tough spot right now with their jobs. And they're freaking out about the prospect. And what's interesting, too, about it is you would think healthcare workers would be the first people to race out and get the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. If they weren't seeing other things. I have a friend who's a paramedic, and he was talking. He said they transport people all the time who had the vaccine. Some friends of his transported this 24-year-old girl with some major heart problems. Took her to the ER. And, normally when a paramedic walks in, and I'm not saying, nope, everybody gets this. Okay. This is just an occurrence he told me about, but this bothered me because of what happened. So she goes in and they look at her, but normally when a paramedic brings somebody in, they will tell the doctor what happened. There was a car accident, there was a shooting, a stabbing. She took a medication, to give the doctor what right before the person even gets there, right? Whatever information you have. So the paramedic gets there with this girl and they said, well, she just had the vaccine. I don't know how long before. I didn't get all the details, but he said, well, she recently had the vaccine. You know what the doctor says? Keep that on the down low. We don't want the media to hear about it. Mm. So how scary is that? And how many times does that happen? That's the question. And I'm not saying everybody gets sick, because I know plenty of people have had the vaccine who are fine. So I'm not saying that everybody has it. But my point is, when healthcare workers who see everything, don't all race down the hall to get their shot, what does that tell you? They have different situations too, or maybe they already had COVID or whatever it might be. So it's nice to know that they're not going to be forced to get it now. The court order said the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid has no clear authority from Congress to enact the vaccine mandate for providers participating in the two government health programs for the elderly, disabled, and poor. This is a big deal. Very big deal. Missouri Attorney General, of course, Eric Schmidt, everybody knows who he is, held a press conference to make a statement. But he said what the court said today was that the Biden administration has no authority. There's no statutory authority for them to do this. None whatsoever. God bless him. God bless him. And another point he made that a lot of people have made recently, he said, if you talk to the men and women in the healthcare field, who, by the way, a year ago were being honored as heroes, right? Mm-hmm. And now, of course, you know, they're being treated like, you know, they're going to get tossed out of their jobs. I mean, it's a crazy situation, completely crazy. So anyway, we'll see what happens with it. I think this stuff's going to be stuck in the court. Now, of course, you know, the Supreme Court's going to be taking up that abortion case this week.
Yeah.
That should be interesting.
Is that the Mississippi case?
The Dobbs case, yeah. So who knows what will happen there. It's going to be fascinating to see because, you know, listen, I want the Supreme Court comprised of at least the majority of constitutionalists. I don't necessarily need conservatives. I want constitutionalists. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopefully they'll, you know, because if you look at Roe v. Wade, it was based on a Supreme Court case or called Griswold versus Connecticut, a case that was about privacy. It had nothing to do with abortion. Anybody who knows the history of it knows that. And I mean, how is right to privacy somehow get translated into an abortion situation? So they're not going to make abortion illegal in every state, even if they overturn Roe v. Wade. They won't. There are states who will do it. There are states who won't.
Yeah,
Utah won't. You know, Nevada will. Missouri, I'm not sure. Probably, I don't know what Missouri would do one way or the other. It depends on Illinois for sure would allow it. Depends, right?
Yeah, Illinois puts in a fast lane, which is tragic. But yeah, I think that's what people don't understand is if the Supreme Court would overrule Roe v. Wade, it wouldn't instantly make abortion illegal across the country. It would kick it back to the states, and the states would make their individual laws on that.
Right. And you can't, you know, you're not going to make it illegal. People are still going to get them. You know, what I'd like to be able to do is have people have all the information that they possibly can. You know, that's why Planned Parenthood doesn't want women to come in and get an ultrasound. You know, they don't want you to have all the information. They only want you to know what they want you to know, that it's some kind of little thing and it's no big deal. It's not a person. You know, it's so frustrating that everybody has to take sides on this and nobody wants to give people the information that they need. You're not going to make it illegal. It's not going to happen. People are going to find a way to do it if they want to. But what we need is more appreciation for life and more responsibility. How about that? Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, absolutely. That's... what we need is love, more love.
We need more love. And the problem, too, with abortion, I've always said this to people, regardless of where you sit on the abortion spectrum, the biggest issue for me is if you don't respect life before it's here because, you know, it's inconvenient or this and that and the other, that translates into how you treat elderly people. Yeah, you're old, you can't, you know, you're sick, you're costing us money. Then you start seeing things like, you know, euthanasia legalized and all these things because we don't have respect for life on either end of the spectrum. That's always been my problem with abortion, with those who think it's no big deal. You're not respecting life matters. It always matters. Matters on both ends of the spectrum. And it just can't be just because it's inconvenient. It's, you know, anyway. So we'll see what happens with that. Should be fascinating to watch. All right. Annie Fry, I promise we'll be back tomorrow. And don't forget to check out HeidiHarris.com. That's my main website where I put podcasts up and video stuff that I do every day and all that kind of stuff at HeidiHarris.com. And don't forget my Sunday night show right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Do that every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. So if you can't get enough of me, and who could blame you? I was hanging out with you too long, Brad. I'm starting to talk like you now, buddy.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, check out HeidiHarris.com. Thank you, Brad, for everything. So appreciate it. Always fun. This is 97.1 FM Talk. I'm Heidi Harris. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!